Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Bleav and Georgia Dogs Podcast on the Bleav Podcast Network.
It's time to awaken an entire nation.
I'll be your dog till I die. Between the hedges, look it fly. 90,000 in the stands, I'ma do my dance, make it look fine. Coach, put me in the game. UGA, yeah, the name. Yeah, the offense gon' turn up, but the defense gon' win us the game.
Here's your host, Corey Burton.
Happy Friday, everybody. It is the Bleav in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Bleav Podcast Network, the number one podcasting network for professionals. It is Mississippi State week, and tomorrow the Dogs kick off against the other Bulldogs from the West. That game will kick off at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. DJ Shockley will actually be in the booth for the SEC Network team. So looking at a 25-point favorite as UGA, as the real Dogs, welcome in Mississippi State, who's dealing with some COVID issues. We'll get into that here in a little bit. You can find us on Twitter at Bleav in Dogs. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook with the same name. You can find Israel at TroopStar28 on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me at CoachBurton36 on Twitter. And you can find me also on Instagram at Burton.Corey. You can find my other shows, the Illegal Motion College Football Podcast, and a brand new show that's going to launch here pretty soon, here in the near future, a show called Coaching Chatter. So we'll get that one off the ground here in the very, very near future. So a lot of things going on. Want to welcome, as always, my co-host Israel. What's up, man? Israel Troop, what's going on, bud?
What's going on, man? What's going on? Just looking forward to finally some SEC football. Finally this weekend. I was a little bored last weekend, but now the SEC's back. So hopefully we get to see some great games this weekend.
Yeah, we had to resort to Big Ten and Pac-12 football last week.
Man, it was hard to watch. It was hard to watch.
Yeah, especially if you're a Michigan fan, it's really hard to watch. But show's brought to you by betonline.ag. The college and NFL season is in full swing. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. And from game spreads and totals to team and player and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. There's always the online casino as well. That never closes. So head to betonline.ag today. Take full advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag and sign up today. Some of the more notable lines here in college football. We'll make a couple of picks from outside the conference. Looking at what we got here, looks like Tulane and Tulsa, if you want to play that game tonight. Tulsa is actually 5.5-point favorites. They've made quite a run. Another game that stands out to me is Minnesota-Purdue. That's pretty much a pick 'em. Purdue is 2.5-point favorites after their loss last week to Northwestern. Indiana-Ohio State, here's an interesting one. Indiana is 20.5-point dogs. Do you buy that?
Man, I don't know. I'm going to have to wait till tomorrow on that one to actually, or this weekend, to actually make my pick because, I mean, Indiana's playing some great football, so 20 points is a lot. Although, you know, you can't count out Justin Fields in that offense as well. So I'm going to have to wait and see how that one shakes out later on this week.
Absolutely. And Wisconsin and Northwestern, Wisconsin is 7-point favorites in that matchup. How do you see that one?
I like Wisconsin. You know, I like what they're doing. They got a nice balance of using those tight ends, man, they do a great job of using tight ends. If I'm a tight end, I'm looking at going to Wisconsin because they use them all the time, not just run blocking, actually throw to them. So they've got a great balanced attack right now. And after what they did to Michigan, not saying Michigan's Michigan, you know, but they look really good against Michigan. So I like them over Northwestern.
Yeah, I do too. Northwestern is very explosive on offense, but I think Jimmy Leonard is one of the nice up-and-coming defensive coordinators. He might not be at Wisconsin next year. He might be head coaching somewhere, leading his own program somewhere in the Big Ten, I bet. Speaking of Michigan, they're only 10.5-point favorites over Rutgers. If you were to look at this line a year ago, that's probably in the 30s in Michigan's favor. But the fact that Rutgers is a little bit better and Michigan is pretty much downright pitiful, that one stood out to me. I mean, obviously, I would probably pick with the way Rutgers is now, I don't know if they can cover that, but I don't know. I don't know how that one shakes out. I'd have to think about that one.
I'm not thinking about that one too. After watching Michigan last week and the week prior, and especially when they play Michigan State, who got monkey stomped by Iowa, I think Rutgers is gonna give them a run for the money. I actually think 10 points is a little bit generous, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very generous. And so, you might've just talked me into taking Rutgers. we talked NFL. Let's say I'm going to choose the, Rams Bucks game. The Bucks are still four-point favorites. I might be inclined to take the Rams. The Rams are playing really good football right now.
I think the Bucks are a little bit butthurt after that whooping they took from the Saints. So the Rams are struggling a little bit offensively, and I don't know. I'm having a tough one, but I think I'm going to go with the Bucs. I can't knock out Tom Brady, especially after the demoralizing loss that they had against the Saints. I don't think he's going to let that happen again.
Absolutely. So that one will be interesting. I'll take the Rams. You take the Bucs, and we'll see kind of where it shakes out, right? So that's betonline.ag again. Make sure you go there. Make some bets. A lot of interesting lines. There's some game props and stuff that I'm not really going to get into, but there's some interesting things on there as well. I went on there the other night and played some blackjack and actually went on a pretty good run before I came back down to the pack. I still finished $5 north of what I started with, so after about an hour. So pretty good entertainment and didn't lose any money, so yeah, I'll take it.
Get it going. I'm having pretty good success with our bets that's going on there, so. I like the way they do it. They make it pretty easy for you. You know, you get to choose which bet you want to take. Do you want to take the over under? Do you want to take the outright? You know, stuff like that. So I love the way that they have it set up. Makes it easy for you. And, yeah. You know, and it's pretty much done for you.
Yeah, and you can actually parlay the same game. I've done that before, where I take an outright, or I take a winner and a over under, and I've done like a 2-part parlay on it, and. I'm like 1-1 on those parlays. There was one where I won the game but didn't win the over under. The game went just barely over, but the team that was I picked the favorite and they covered the spread, but the game went over. So I took it was the Bills like a long time ago. I think they were playing the Jets. I took the under.
They got me in the Coastal Carolina. I forget who they were playing. They got me like that too, and it canceled the bet because it went over. I was like, oh. They won. They covered the spread, but it went over. I was like, "You've got to be kidding!"
Yeah. So I guess the lesson is always take Coastal in the over. So
exactly.
But interesting matchup this weekend. The JT Daniels era starts for the Georgia Bulldogs, and for dog fans, hopefully it continues. But they welcome in the Mississippi State Bulldogs, the Bulldogs of the West. This is dogs versus dogs, and depending on how you spell it, we'll tell you who you think will probably win that game or which side of the fence you're on. But JT Daniels, we talked about him a little bit. What is the key for him? What are we measuring as a key to success for JT Daniels? This is probably the first competitive snap he's took in a year and a half, probably.
I'm looking at how he manages the offense. You know, I'm looking at that and what happens when he takes that first lick, because you know they'll get pressure on him at some point. We're hoping not, but, you know, it's football. So, you know, they'll eventually get one through. So that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at how does he manage the offense? You know, does the offense keep rolling? Can he make some plays with his legs? Can he make some plays with his arms? You know, and just how he manages the football game. You know, does he get too high? Does he get too low? You know, does he get frustrated, you know, and just little things, you know, like as you and I being coordinators, things that we look at from a quarterback standpoint, just how can you manage the football game? You know, can you make the throws that you need to make? You know, just basically just manage the football game. How can he do that, you know, after being out for so long?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, managing the game, taking care of the football, and I'll be kind of curious to see how much more of the offense opens up with JT Daniels, because he's got more of a live arm, and Monken's done a great job of scheming these wide receivers open. We just hadn't been able to hit them, either lack of arm strength or too much arm strength, or just not quite on the mark with a lot of our deep throws. And maybe with JT Daniels, who has probably the strongest arm of the bunch, that opens up some of the deep shots that Todd Monken really wants to take. And I'll be interested if we can hit a few of those and make our offense even more explosive. That might open up a new dimension for us. You know, obviously too little too late at this point, but you know, given the circumstances of what's going on with JT Daniels, you know, you hope that he just succeeds and he's able to finish out this this season, and we can finish out on a strong note. So I'll be interested to see if anything different opens up with JT Daniels, and if he can shake off the rust early and take care of the football. So that'll be kind of what I'm looking at. And if we can open up a new dimension of the offense, I would consider that a success.
Mm-hmm. And then we're playing against Mississippi State, who's not bad, you know, so I think this is a good game for him to come in and, you know, get his feet wet. You know, it's not like he's going against an Alabama or Florida, you know, who's going to heat you up and stuff like that. So I think it's a good game to get his feet wet, you know, see how he handles the game, how he handles the atmosphere. You know, the one good thing that's happened with COVID, and it's one only good thing, is that you don't have to worry about the crowd, you know, the
right.
crowd noise, especially if you're a new guy starting at for an offense, you know, or a freshman starting out. You know, you don't have to worry about the crowd noise anymore. You know, now you're just going out there and playing ball, you know. So, you know, you don't have to worry about that distraction anymore. So, I'm interested just to see, you know, how he comes out. You know, does he have a little pep in his step when he comes out? You know, a little swagger when he comes out to let him know, hey, guys, I'm ready. Let's go to work.
Absolutely. So he'll have a host of weapons to contend with. Looks like, you know, do we get George Pickens back this week?
Man, I hadn't heard anything. They've kept that one on the hush. I hadn't heard anything about him coming back, so. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I hope he does come back, because I think that's one dimension that we're losing, because people are starting to key on the Jermaine Burton and Kyrus Johnson, because he's not over there, you know. So
right.
When you lose a big-time receiver like George Pickens, you know, you just got to – the other guys have to step up, yeah, but you start to realize that, okay, he's the guy, so we've got to get him back.
Exactly, and I think that'll be something that, you know, that'll be a welcome addition for JT Daniels. Have a solid rock over there as your number one, and you can get back to having Pickens and Kyrus as your main two targets, with Jermaine Burton in the tight ends kind of playing ancillary roles. I think with all the injuries that we have at the wide receiver spot and all the unproven deals, that we're going to have to get creative with the tight end position and get creative with James Cook too as well, and how we use him in the pass game. So, and they've done and Monken's done a tremendous job so far of using James Cook in the pass game and opening up explosive opportunities for him. It was too bad that we couldn't finish off that one against Kentucky. But I think maybe with a slightly taller quarterback and one with a more live arm, maybe we finish that drive. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to play the if, ands, or, you know, would have, could have, should have game. But, you know, I think just opening up those opportunities will, you know, hopefully we'll start to connect on those. And I think getting creative with personnel, I think, is something Todd Monken is starting to do. And he's starting to, you know, he's starting to figure out that that's what he's going to have to do this year, because some guys are emerging. Arian Smith is beat up. He's not quite ready to jump in the mix, but I think he's finally recovered, and he might get in late in the season after having that shoulder injury at the beginning of camp and missing the entire season. Marcus Roseme, obviously that one hurt. Jermaine Burton is emerging as a playmaker. He's got to be more consistent. Matt Landers has just got to show up, man. He's a big, tall target. There's no excuse to why he can't be somebody that's a chain mover, that's a big target to throw to, and there's no reason that he can't. You know, what do you see from Matt Landers? Like, why has he not had a better career than he has?
I mean, I think it's just between the ears with him, you know. He reminds me of myself. You know, I was a turd when I was in college, you know. I thought I knew everything and stuff, and I got a rude awakening real fast. So, you know, just kind of, you got to make up in your mind, you know, that you're going to listen to the coaches and, you know, do what they say. Because, you know, he's, what, 6'3", 6'5", something like that? You know, there's no reason for him to be, you know, sitting on the bench or, you know, just in for mediocre roles. So, I think for him, you know, he just got to make up in his mind that, okay, I'm at the University of Georgia. You know, it's time for me to step up and make a play. He's just a junior, right? So, I mean, he has another year.
Yeah.
Actually, he has two more years because nobody's getting penalized this year. So, I think he just got to make up in his mind that, you know, hey, it's time for me to start making plays and be the guy that they brought me in here to be.
Exactly. And he's just got to do it. You know, just got to have that one or two plays that just gets him back on the right track. And for you, definitely, it was that 2009 play against Auburn. That was probably one of those that just made you realize, hey, okay, you know, this game ain't so hard, is it?
Yeah, it's not so hard. You make it hard on yourself when you're a turd and you don't do what you're supposed to do. So that's what I tell my guys now. You know, I've been there. You know, I came in with high expectations, you know, and then I started, you know, as they say, started feeling myself a little bit, started not listening and not doing what I'm supposed to do. So, you know, it kind of showed, you know, later on in my career. Then my senior year, I got hurt, so it was a little bit too late. Just for him, you know, you got two more years, so, you know, it's time to step it up. You know, especially with Pickens being out, you know, I've been chomping at the bit to try to get in and make plays and show coaches, hey, this is what you brought me here to do, and I'm ready to go. So he just got to make up in his mind that he's the guy, you know, and coaches are counting on him to do what he's supposed to do. So, you know, that's on him. That's something that he's going to have to make up in his mind himself and help those guys out.
Absolutely. And for Mississippi State on their side of the ball, defensively, they're actually better than they seem. They have two big playmakers, Marcus Murphy and Nathan Pickering are the two notable Bulldog defenders for Mississippi State. They have opted out. So what's that going to do to the defense? Like, does that make, you know, you have your two biggest playmakers opting out. How bad does that screw up a defense?
I think it does. You know, these are guys that you're counting on throughout the season, and all of a sudden halfway through, or for a lot of teams, not right now, halfway through, guys are opting out, getting ready for NFL. So I feel like if you're going to make that decision has to be made at the end of the season, like a lot of other players have made. So right now, you know, it kind of puts them in a bind. You know, it puts your defensive coordinator in a bind saying, all right, now who am I going to put out there? And it puts a bind on those young players right now saying, hey, you got to step up right now. You know, guys who weren't expecting to play, you got to step up and play right now. You got to grow up fast.
Exactly.
And that's the great thing about football. You know, it makes a man out of you.
Mm-hmm.
It teaches you life lessons that, hey, you got to grow up now. It's time to go to work. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see, you know, who they put out there and can they actually keep it going the way that defensive coordinator wants them to go.
Yeah, I mean, they have 14 sacks on the season. They're tied for fourth most in the conference. That's kind of what they hang their hat on. They also have 6 interceptions and 6 fumble recoveries. So they're a boom or bust type defense, it looks like. And, you know, watching them play in a few limited opportunities that we have gotten to watch them play, they do create those. They do create what Kirby Smart likes to call havoc. And so, you know, you got to contend with that, and you really got to be on point, and you really got to, you know, protect well, put the ball in the right spots, things like that, because they'll make you pay. And you know, they can definitely do that. So, you know, Marquis Spencer set 26 tackles, 7 resulting in a loss. He's second on the team with 2.5 sacks. Errol Thompson is the best tackler on the team. He has 57. Tied for 7th best in the SEC. So the playmakers that are there are still making plays. So, you know, maybe they'll miss them, maybe they won't. I don't know. But then again, can Georgia take advantage of the flip side of having a havoc-based defense, which is, you know, you go in for these big plays, but you're also leaving yourself wide open for the counterpunch.
Most definitely. I think this game is going to be one in the trenches. Their defensive line is pretty sporty. I've watched them. They come off the football, you know, they're very violent. That's a good thing about having an offensive line, an experienced offensive line for us. You know, we've seen it before. You know, we've already played Alabama and Florida, who have very good defensive lines as well. So I think this is just another test for us. You know, can we move the football? Coach Munkin, can he put us in the right situations at times? And can Daniels deliver the football? So for me, it's just making sure that those guys know what to do. know what they're seeing and stuff like that. So just little things. It's all about execution pretty much this weekend. You know, we've had 2 weeks off. The guys should be mentally prepared for this game. You know, they got a mental week last week, and kudos to Coach Smart for letting them off. And, you know, just being like, hey, get your mind right, you know, for the rest of the season. So hopefully, you know, that helped, and they go out there and play ball.
No doubt. And I think that's just really what it comes down to is execution. I think if we execute well, we've got enough experience to be able to handle some of those things. So that'll be something interesting as the JT Daniels era kicks off. On the flip side for Mississippi State, offensively, KJ Costello, very up and down in this air raid offense. One of the biggest headlines for Mississippi State was Kylan Hill opting out after just three games. He gets hurt and says, yeah, I'm not really going to run the ball much here at Mississippi State, so I'm just going to go ahead and opt out. So that leaves true freshman Jaquavius Marks as the team's leading rusher. He's only got 131 yards. That's not real shocking considering the offensive philosophy that Mike Leach brings. But, you know, for this offense, who's trying desperately to find some answers, they do have some playmakers. Javonte Payton, who played at our rival high school, Hillsboro, he went the junior college route out of high school and then ended up at Mississippi State. He's extremely talented. He was a pain in our ass when he was at Hillsboro. He is him and Osiris Mitchell are two great standout wide receivers. You got to try to find a way to defend them. Does Kirby Smart do what most of the league has done so far in limiting Mississippi State, where they just drop back in zone and try to get a little bit of pressure and just take away some of these windows, or do they try to go man and try to do what we do?
I think you mix it up. You know, you show them some. You show press and then you back off. I think you show blitz and then you back off and you drop eight, you know, and let your boys up front go to work, because their offensive line doesn't look very good to me. And I think our defensive line is way better than them. So I think you just mix it up. You know, you bring it when you need to. You drop back and play zone when you have to, because I think that's what we need to work on. We need to work on zone coverages, because that's what killed us against Florida. Mm-hmm. Guys didn't know where to drop in zone. They actually showed a play last night when I was watching the MAC conference play where they sent Tony in motion and nobody covered the tight end, and that's why they hit the wheel route to the tight end, mm-hmm. Number 89 for Florida. So, you know, you just got to mix it up. You can't just send pressure all the time and expect those guys to play man, although they're very good on the back end, you know, but we're still a little bit inexperienced on the back end. So I think you build confidence this week and letting them just go out there and play ball, you know, and just mix up your coverages, mix up your blitzes, just give them something different to look at every single time.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great answer there. I mean, I think it works on, you know, the where we lack in the secondary is not talent, because we got extremely talented guys back there. It's the where the experience comes into play is the communication and being able to deal with motion as it unfolds. And that's where we miss Richard LeCount dearly, because he's able to get that back end sorted out. And I think if he's playing in that game, then, you know, that wheel route probably doesn't hit nine times. They might hit it twice. Yeah. Before we get it sorted out, but then I think that would be all. Either he would come over and kill the running back, or he would probably check us into a better coverage for the situation. So, you know, just the communication piece of it. No, you've had 2 weeks now to work the communication aspect of it. Maybe work some more zone. That I think sprinkling in more zone helps your inexperienced secondary guys, because it gives them, hey, you just cover this area, you watch for this and this, and then you just got to communicate. And I think that if they do that, you know, they can make things difficult for this Bulldog offense. But, you know, KJ Costello, Will Rogers, you know, the quarterback battle there at Mississippi State, don't count out Will Rogers. He's completed 72%. And Costello's completed 65%, so it's not like he's a slouch, but I think Costello's been a little bit more careless with the ball and Rogers. So it's going to be a two-quarterback system right now until he can find one. He's got to find his Gardner Minshew, his Graham Harrell, his Cliff Kingsbury, his Tim Couch. I'm trying to run down all the most successful Leach guys, but the most recent, obviously, would be Gardner Minshew. But so he's got to find that guy. And he's just got to get some, you know, get some players in here that can create mismatches, things like that, you know, small, quick guys in the slots, you know, some bigger guys outside, maybe that find that Michael Crabtree type receiver, you know, Osiris Mitchell is trying to be that guy. But I think that Leach just needs to go out and find a guy with a chip on his shoulder, that didn't get the offers that he wanted and be that. You know, be that Michael Crabtree guy that he had at Texas Tech with Graham Harrell.
Mississippi State is definitely a pass-friendly school. If I'm a skill guy and I see Mike Leach is now in the SEC, I'm gonna want to look at Mississippi State. You know, because you know eventually he's gonna get it rolling. You know, once he gets his guys that he wants in there and they have a couple of good recruiting classes, I think Mississippi State's gonna be really good. So, like you said, it's just about finding those playmakers. You know, a lot of those young guys, like I said earlier, they've got to step up and be playmakers. You know, you got to grow up fast in this league, and the SEC's tough. So if you're not ready for it, then you need to go to the Pac-12 or something, you know. So
Big 12.
You're going to play big – Big 12, that's it, Big 12 or Pac-12 or whatever they call it now. But you just got to be ready to play at any point. So whether you're a freshman, redshirt, freshman, doesn't matter. You got to be ready to roll at any point because you never know when your number is going to be called. And right now, Mississippi State has a lot of guys. They're a me team. There's a lot of guys that's thinking me. And I was so proud of Rich LeCount coming out and saying that, hey, I'm not opting out. You know, I'll be back. You know, and that's one thing that I love about his play. You know, he's a leader. And it's showing even though he's not able to physically go. You know, just his presence being there, those guys feel it. He's helping out and stuff like that. So, you know, it's great to see. And I think Mississippi State will get there. It's just the point of finding those guys who will help you get there.
Yeah, it's finding the right fit. I mean, Mike Leach's offense is so specific. I mean, it seems so very simple, but it's really not, you know, because, you know, evaluating the quarterback position and how you have to play in Mike Leach's system, it's the system is simple, but within each concept – has specific routes designed to be like if you play a heavy cover six team, well, you know, in your Y cross pattern, you might hit, you know, one route, you might hit the trailing dig, or you might hit the front side comeback, or, you know, when you have mesh, you know, you're going to come down to the mesh against man to man. You're probably going to hit some of these spot routes versus zone. And if a quarterback can't read through his progressions, I should say, as he's dropping back and looking at as it unfolds, then you're going to struggle. And I think for Costello and Rogers right now, everything's just moving so fast and they can't, they can't get through their reads and they can't diagnose the coverage and understand and have a full understanding of, okay, we get this look, the ball's going here. That's what Gardner Minshew did a great job of doing at Washington State. That's what Luke Falk did a great job at Washington State. This with Graham Harrell, Cliff Kingsbury, B.J. Simmons, you know, all the long list of guys, they were good at seeing the game unfold. And they were good at reading through their progressions and knowing how to do it quickly because, you know, obviously you're going to be in a lot of five-man protection. So, I mean, you've got to know pre-snap, and all those guys are great pre-snap. It's serving Minshew pretty well in the NFL. Although he's been out with thumb injury, but you know it's just a specific type of skill set. You know, accuracy and ability to read is really all that Mike Leach looks for. And so once he gets that guy, you know, you can have receivers that also need to understand how coverages work and where the holes are going to be. And not every receiver understands that. I think that's a misconception. Not everybody fits into the air raid system, which it seems on the surface like. You know, that doesn't make sense. Like, it's just very simple stuff. You just run these routes and you're good. But it goes more than that. It goes beyond that. It goes like, you have to pretty much be a quarterback at receiver to understand how coverages work and understand where you need to be and how you need to adjust your route. Because a lot of stuff is like choice routes. You know, maybe you adjust your dig based on whatever type of coverage you got, or maybe, you know, the mesh becomes a, you know, double cross sit route. You know, if it's if it's like a cover three or cover two or cover four, really.
Yeah, it's about understanding zones, and that's what, you know, I love about, you know, Tony Ball and Coach John Easton when I was there at Georgia. You know, they did a great job of teaching coverages. The same thing I do with my receivers now. You know, I have my quarterbacks and my receivers in meetings, and I tell them, hey, guys, this is what the quarterback sees, so we have to understand where the windows are. And they did a great job of teaching that to us you know, when I was at Georgia, you know, understanding, all right, they play in zone. So where are the windows in zone? You know, where do we need to sit it down? When do we need to keep running? So, you know, and Mike Leach's offense, like you say, it's not complicated, but it's just understanding the offense. And I think after a while, this is first year, so I'm not going to harp on that. But after giving about 2 years and, you know, those guys are in the system long enough, I think they'll figure it out. So, but like you said, it's just about finding those zones and picking apart the zone and stuff like that. I don't want to do it against us.
But, no.
Moving forward, you know, that's one thing that those receivers have to understand, and they'll get it. You know, it all it does is take time when they fully start to understand the offense and really figure out what coach wants. I think they'll figure it out and they'll be fine.
Yeah, and they will be. And I mean, it's gonna take this entire season to figure out what, you know, how to read that stuff. They're gonna get a little bit better each week. They're gonna be a little bit more pesky each week. They just got to figure out. Again, they just got to figure out what works for them and how they can go and, you know, and what he can do to get his guys in the system. But he'll be fine. I think a lot of people are panicking on him saying he's a bust, and that's not true. He everywhere he takes over, it's usually rough the first season, no matter where he goes. Texas Tech, it was brutal. Washington State, I think he went 2-10 his first year. But then he figured it out. Then he started winning 8, 9, 10 ball games a year. And then when he had Gardner Minshew, he was – one went away from winning the division and representing the Pac-12 North in the championship game. I think they lost to Washington. If they beat Washington, because they beat Oregon earlier in the year, season. So if they would have beat Washington in the Apple Cup, then they would have gone to the Pac-12 championship. But that broke the tie. That loss broke the tie and sent Oregon to the Pac-12 championship game that season, and you know what happened there. So, he's gonna have to just stay patient. State fans are gonna have to stay patient. You know, Ole Miss is gonna get you this year. That's just gonna happen. It's gonna happen.
Yeah.
But they'll figure it out. And their defense is pretty pesky. So they'll figure it out. And they'll get more guys in there, and they'll get and they'll be good. So, you know, I'm looking, you know. Let's look at this 25-point spread. You know what? You know, with all the COVID issues, I think that's why the spread is where it's at, because they are dealing with some COVID issues. They are dealing with a short roster because of contact tracing and guys with COVID and stuff like that. I think they're currently sitting with 64 guys on the roster, so their depth isn't even close to where it should be. So I think it's I think that's a contributing factor as to why I like Georgia in this game -25.
I'm thinking more 14-20, just because we got a new quarterback as well. Now that's not saying we can't hit it on all cylinders, you know, and get rolling, you know. But with a new quarterback coming in, and I'm just trying to see what our defense is going to do against the passing attack. So I'm thinking maybe 14-20. Point win. Even if we win by 1 point, I'll still be happy, you know. So just finding a way to make our guys, just building some confidence, pretty much making our guys comfortable during the game, making sure everybody knows their assignment alignment. So I'm thinking maybe 14-20, and that 25 would be real surprising.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're right on that too, I think, but I think our defense will chip in with a score. I think special teams could chip in with a score on a return or something like that. And then, I think we'll somehow figure out a way to cover this 25-point spread. It might be, you know, midway through the fourth quarter, we might be going, oh, boy. But it's going to kind of go the way that the Arkansas game went, where the first half is sort of ugly. And then you see an explosion there in the third quarter of points, and then that's going to kind of carry the game, and so I think that's kind of where Georgia's going to separate.
I think so too. You know, it's just we're just going to wait and see. I'm excited about the JT Daniels show. I really am. I see a lot of people are excited as well, but you know, for him, I hope he has success and hope people understand that it's a process. You know, he's playing against Mississippi State, you know, who's a little bit down this year, but a really good football team, and hope he has success. And I hope people start to understand, you know, how football really works. You know, you can't just throw a guy out there all of a sudden and he just lights it up. You know, there's a process that goes along with this. And I think he's carried himself in a manner to where he's getting better each week. Hopefully that knee doesn't wear him down or he thinks about that. I think hopefully he just goes out there and play football and we come out with a W on Saturday.
No doubt. All right, so that's going to do it for that game. But there's some other exciting games going on around the conference as we make our SEC picks today. One of the games that is postponed due to contact tracing was one that I was extremely excited to watch outside of our game, which was the Ole Miss A&M game. Ole Miss probably sitting at 3-4, probably one of the best 3-4 teams in the country. Completely one-dimensional, but extremely exciting to watch on offense. We can get into them in the future. But the first game, 11 a.m. kick here in the Central Time, noon kick in your time zone, Israel. Florida taking on Vandy. Florida's 31.5-point favorites. I'm buying that spread because Florida's so explosive and Vandy at this point is just in the tank. Ken Seals, I'm starting to become more and more of a fan of his, true freshman quarterback at Vandy, but I just don't think he has enough in the tank to cover this spread for the Doors.
Yeah, I think Vandy's going to play hard, and that's one thing that they always do. They're going to play hard. They're not going to quit. But I think Florida just has too many playmakers. I mean, you look at Kyle Trask, and he is lighting it up. He is, if not going to be, the front runner for the Heisman. You know, right now, just the numbers that he's putting up and the confidence that he has right now. And I mean, you can't stop. You got Grimes, you got Kyle, you got Tony. I mean, those guys are just lighting up, and they're starting to find a run game now too, which is also making them deadly. So I'm buying that one as well. I think they just outman Vandy, and that game's over the middle of the third, beginning of the fourth, and they start rolling some young guys in. Now, I'm interested to see how Emory Jones does too, because, I mean, he's come in at times, and he's looked really good too. I know they've built some packages for him throughout each game. So I'm interested to see how he does as well. So I'm buying that one. That 31-point spread.
Yeah, they just overwhelm you. But the next game at the same time, noon from Fayetteville, Arkansas, that game will actually be 11 a.m. Local time for Arkansas. They host the LSU Tigers. Go Tigers! Who are struggling. But that game is, you know, last year, if you were to look at this spread, that was probably a 38-point spread. This year, it is a spread that's barely in favor of LSU, mostly because of COVID. Otherwise, it would be favored in the other direction. I'm taking Arkansas to cover this game. They're just so physical, man. They get after you. The Treylons, Smith and Burks, they get after you. Felipe's playing some pretty good football right now. And what really impressed me is Arkansas had a chance in that second quarter last week against Florida to lay down and lose 63-14, but they didn't. And they fought the entire way. They put up 35 points on the Gators. They made it interesting at times, but you know, Florida just does what Florida does. They overwhelm you, and they found a run game. So I like Arkansas to win this game. I think they're going to do more than cover the 2.5-point spread. I think they're going to win by a touchdown or even two scores.
I do too. Arkansas is playing some inspired football. I saw a snippet from Coach O talking about Coach Pittman. He said the same thing we've been saying. He's turned Arkansas around in just a couple months' time. And I think just the way they're playing right now is amazing. And, you know, like you said earlier, they could have completely laid down against Florida and just folded the tent. And last year's team would have done that, you know, but they didn't. You know, they came back and they kept fighting and eventually made that a respectable ball game. Shoot, it's 7-7 at the end of the first quarter, you know, so – Arkansas is not very far away, and I like them against a struggling LSU because LSU can't figure out what they want to do defensively or what they want to do offensively. So I like Arkansas on this one as well.
Yeah, it just seems like for LSU, just the loss of Joe Brady just killed them. And Arkansas and Ole Miss are personnel-wise and offensive scheme-wise are carbon copies of each other because they both run that Art Briles system. And then Arkansas is showing you what having a real defensive coordinator looks like, and Ole Miss is kind of showing you what having the playmakers that you want looks like too on the offensive side of the ball. So both teams are pretty much carbon copies of each other. It's going to be fun to watch those two teams go through the West. Now, speaking of the West, everybody's trying to beat Alabama, right? They're 30-point favorites at home against Kentucky. Kentucky struggling. to find a quarterback. Joey Gatewood is just not the answer as of right now. Could be in the future. I don't know. But they're trying to find answers. They're struggling. They're struggling to find playmakers on that side of the ball. Defensively, they're solid for the most part. But you know they had a lapse last week against Vandy in a victory. They gave up 34 points to the bottom of the barrel in the SEC, Vandy. So until Alabama proves otherwise, even without Jalen Waddle, I think they're going to cover this big spread. Just they you know like Florida, they just overwhelm you. And they can overwhelm you and do it quickly. So give me the Tide here.
I'm going with the Tide as well. I mean, they're chomping at the bit right now to get back on the football field too. And you know for a fact that, you know, Nick Saban's got their focus and they see the light at the end of the tunnel. And they're putting on a show for that SEC championship game, which right now looks to be in Florida's favor. So I think that they're going to cover that spread and it's going to get ugly fast and hopefully nobody gets injured during that game, but Alabama's going to pretty much overwhelm Kentucky and is going to suck the life out of them probably by halftime.
Cool. So we're both on the Tide. In our next game, 6 p. It'll be a 7 o'clock game on ESPN from the Plains, Jordan-Air Stadium. Two teams that were very similar in their trajectory at the beginning of the year, but now trending in opposite directions. Tennessee, obviously, trending in the wrong direction, and Auburn trending in the right direction, sitting at 4-2 with a chance to finish out strong. Their playmakers are finally making plays. Tank Bigsby is becoming one of the better running backs in this conference. Seth Williams is doing what Seth Williams does, and Bo Nix is actually distributing the ball, and he's playing like he should be playing, and you know it's resulting in Auburn going and winning some ball games. They're 10.5-point favorites in this one. I like the Tigers, the War Eagle, the Plainsmen, whatever you want to call them, because I think right now that they're on a hot streak. You know, Bo Nix is playing some really good football right now. Tank Bigsby, somebody you can lean on in the rushing attack. And Seth Williams is, you know, I said it from the beginning of the year. He is one of the better receivers in this conference. He's one of those guys, big body, plays the ball well in the air, and just a playmaker. And now what I'm impressed with is they're starting to get the ball to Stove and Schwartz. And so I think that, you know, Gus Malzahn has found a really good run of football here. They're sitting ranked at 23rd, and they are 10.5-point favorites against Tennessee. I'm taking Auburn.
I'm taking Auburn, too. The offense is starting to finally click like the defense has all year. So they're looking pretty scary right now. I would hate to have to play them later on in the season. I'm glad we played them early when they were struggling. But, man, that offense is looking good. Like you said, Bo Nix is finally starting to distribute the football the way that they thought and knew that he could. And Seth Williams is just a man. Eli Stove and Schwartz, you know, when you have those two guys to help them out and you got to attain for them, I mean, that makes your offense that much more deadly. And Tank Bigsby is a man child. He runs the ball so violently, and I love to watch him run the football. So I'm taking that one as well, because I mean that offense is we thought all year that it was going to be really good, and they're finally starting to pick it up. You know, it took them a while to figure it out, but you know they look really good right now.
Yeah, it was touch and go there for a minute. But speaking of touch and go, our last game on the slate from Williams-Brice Stadium, the Battle of Columbia. Who would the real Columbia please stand up? Missouri at South Carolina. Two teams again sitting with similar records, but you feel better about one team and you don't really about another. One team fired their head coach this week, South Carolina. The start of the Mike Bobo Gamecock era begins at home against Missouri with Connor Bazlik. I think that's how you say his name. He's playing some really good football. They've had limited opportunities to play all in general. They've only played 5 games, sitting at 2-3. They're playing some really good football when they actually play. Larry Roundtree has got 432 yards and 4 touchdowns in limited games. Missouri, I like them in this battle just because South Carolina's in turmoil, and I hate it for Bobo because this is not going to be a true representation of his ability as a coach and as a head coach. But you know, you have J.C. Horn who decided to step away and opt out. He did the anti-Richard LeCount move. You just have so much distraction around the program at South Carolina. It's going to be tough to really generate much of anything there, and I'd be surprised if they were even close down the stretch in any game they play in. So I'm taking Missouri. Missouri right now, the line is 6.5 points in favor of Missouri. I'm pretty sure that had to do a lot with what's happening in South Carolina. This game would probably be a pick 'em otherwise, so or in South Carolina's favor. But I'm taking Missouri. What about you?
I'm going to treat it as a pick 'em as well, and I'm going to pick South Carolina. I think for the most part, I think Coach Bubba and that staff can get them to play some inspired football. It's the point of can their defense hold up? I think Coach Bubba will have a plan for them offensively that can get the ball rolling. Right now, it's just can the defense hold for them? You know, can the defense get a couple three and outs, get a couple of big stops, maybe create a couple turnovers too to help the offense out? But I think South Carolina keeps it close. I think Missouri does win, don't get me wrong, but I think South Carolina can keep it close within that 6 points. And, you know, we'll just see how it goes because, I mean, but yeah. Coach Bubba has a weird way of getting people inspired. You saw it at Colorado State, mm-hmm. And you saw it when he was at Georgia as well, just getting guys to play for him. And he's a player's coach, so with all the distractions going on, I think those guys come out and play inspired football, and you know, hopefully they can make it close.
Yeah, hopefully for Coach Bobo's sake, they can not only keep it close but win this thing. So that'll help recruiting. Harris, the running back, is almost at 1,000 yards. He is probably one of the bright spots in what is to be a tumultuous season. Shy Smith obviously is doing what he does, and Connor Hill's been playing quite nice. I wish he'd take care of the ball a little bit better, but this will be an interesting one. So I can't wait to see kind of how it shakes out. So Israel, that's gonna put a bow on this show for us. You know, as we make our SEC picks, before I leave you, if you are a Georgia basketball fan, then I salute you because it's very difficult to be a Georgia basketball fan when the 100% of your tradition lies in one player in Dominique Wilkins. It makes it tough to root for that program. But nonetheless, I got a piece of paper. You got a piece of paper that says we finished enough course credit to receive a degree from that university. So for that reason and that reason alone, I will support the basketball program and be a fan. The program got some really good news last night. Anthony Edwards goes number one overall in the NBA draft to the Minnesota Timberwolves. I don't know if you follow the NBA or not. I don't really. I might start to a little bit. It's starting to get a little bit more interesting. I kind of follow it from afar. But he goes to the Minnesota Timberwolves, number one overall. What are your thoughts on that? Is he a good fit for Minnesota?
I think he is. I watched him play last year, and that kid has an explosiveness that I hadn't seen in a very long time. Kudos to him. Congratulations to the Georgia basketball team, their coaches, and the faithful basketball fans of Georgia. I know it's been rough being a Georgia basketball fan, but there is a bright spot. And I think with that happening, I think they're going to get a lot more recruits, a lot more players to come there.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
That's going. I think Coach. I think I'm saying Coach Crean.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Is doing a heck of a job, you know, with what he has, and you know, getting those guys to come out and play hard. Because if you watch any of their games, they're not out of it. You know, they're just being outmanned just because other teams have more firepower. And I think with him going number one overall, and a couple of guys that they got coming back, and some guys they got coming in, I think they're going to make something happen. You know, just give him some time. You know, he's had, you know, a recruiting class that wasn't very good, and I think with him going number one overall, that's really going to help the recruiting class of Georgia basketball is hopefully going to reach that peak and start getting guys at the Kentuckys and everybody else is getting to. So, I mean, who wouldn't want to be a Georgia Bulldog? I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, I think you're crazy to not want to come into a rising program, because I mean, he's done it at every level. And when we do we're not just a football show, Israel. We're gonna talk some basketball during basketball season. But I think if you're looking at it from a 30,000 foot microscope or a 35,000 foot lens, you know, you're looking at this program like, man, they're like one or two pieces away. I could be that piece. And I could go to a great school in the SEC and compete with the Floridas, the Vandys, the the Auburns of the conference, the Tennessees of the conference, and we can put Georgia on the map basketball-wise. They just produced a number one overall pick, so it's not like NBA scouts are avoiding Athens. You know, you're sitting right there, you know, 60 miles away from Atlanta. There's plenty of talent in Atlanta to choose from. You just got to find the right pieces. And Tom Crean's done it before. He did it at Marquette with Dwayne Wade, and he's done it at Indiana with most notably Victor Oladipo, who's still playing in the NBA as of right now. So I think there is some merit to what Crean has done. He tried to take over a traditional power in basketball at Indiana. It just didn't quite work out for him. The situation wasn't right. Tom Crean is a program builder, and with Indiana, that's not kind of where they are with their expectations. So that's what kind of why, you know, differences in opinion of what Bobby Knight provided for expectations kind of dictated what Tom Crean's success or definition of success was going to be. So at Georgia, your expectations as of right now aren't there. It's Tom Crean's job to build those expectations. And I think the first step was taken last night when Anthony Edwards went number one overall. So I'm excited for the program, excited for Tom Crean, excited for Georgia, excited for Anthony Edwards to finally begin his NBA journey with the Minnesota Timberwolves. So kudos to the basketball program, and we'll talk more basketball as the football season winds down. And so I look forward to watching it. I never thought I'd say I'd look forward to watching college basketball because I'm not really much of a basketball guy in general. But so I'm excited to see what Tom Crean can do. So kudos to them.
I am. I'm not a basketball guy. I'm more of a football guy. But I do watch – I usually watch it right around January or February whenever the big conferences – good conference games going on. I'm a North Carolina fan. I grew up a North Carolina fan. I grew up watching old highlights of Michael Jordan when they had
who's Ed that
Coda back then.
Who's Michael Jordan?
You know, man, they I just grew up watching just watching them just and how they do things. I just yeah. love it. You know, so Vince Carter and all those guys playing. Yeah. So, but you know, I did go to a couple of Georgia games when I was there. I was there when they won the SEC. They're a step behind. They are. But I think with Coach Crean being there, and especially with Edwards going number one, I think the stock just went up on Georgia. So that expectation is going to be a little bit higher.
You know?
And as a recruit, you know, that's what you want. You want to be prime time. You know, you want to be in a conference to where, you know, you're going to be seen. And like you said earlier, scouts are going to Georgia. Scouts are going to Athens, to see these guys play. And, you know, it's just good to see. And, you know, it's Georgia's, all of Georgia's sports are going in the right direction. That's great to see, especially from an alumni like you and I.
Exactly. And, you know, NITs are no longer the expectation. It's dance or bust, man. And that's what it's got to be. And so I'm excited to see what the baseball program can do. I'm excited to see what Joni Taylor and the women's basketball program can do and to see if gymnastics can get back on track. I told you, this is a comprehensive show, Israel. So the golf team with Chris Hack, you know, he had three guys playing in the Masters. So if you're a golfer and you're not taking a look at Georgia or and you should be, then shame on you, because you might be playing in the Masters in the near future if you wind up at Georgia. So
exactly.
A lot of good things for Georgia athletics going on. The football team obviously is had a couple disappointing losses, but that's the SEC, man. And that's how it shakes out. And so week in and week out, you're going to be tested, and you got to perform. And everybody can beat everybody. And that's the lesson of the day. Everyone can beat everyone. So Israel, before we wrap, any last things you want to leave us with for the weekend?
Let's just, like I said last show, you know, everybody just be safe. With this COVID deal, wear your mask, you know, where it's needed. And let's get through this thing. Let's hopefully get through this football season fully so we can have a national championship on January 11th.
No doubt. Yeah, stay safe. Do what you need to do. Thanksgiving, it's going to be tempting to have these large gatherings, but be smart about it, all right? And that just goes beyond the football team, but that's for everybody. So be safe. The vaccines are starting to kind of roll out a little bit. Tennessee was chosen as one of the four early states for that Pfizer chose for their vaccine that has 94% effectiveness. So that'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. But yeah, stay safe. And while you're staying safe, listen to our show. You can find us on Apple Podcast, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, wherever you can find your podcast. Listen, rate, and subscribe. Give us some feedback on Twitter at Believe in Dogs, at Coach Burton 36, at Troopstar 28. Find us on Instagram. Find me on Instagram. Find us on Facebook. Find Israel on Facebook and Instagram. And just give us a listen. You'll enjoy it. We're one of the best dog shows around. I feel safe about saying that. I'm a little biased, I guess. I don't know. But yeah. So for Israel, we hope you have a great weekend. And hope you enjoy the nice slate of SEC games, most notably dogs versus dogs. And so with that being said, I'm going to give a nice little hearty go dogs and have a great weekend.
Go dogs. Have a great weekend. Be safe.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.